Chapter 6. Edward's leg bounced up and down, tapping his heel on the floor as he lay sprawled out on the couch, his back up to the arm and a book in hand. He gave a loud sigh and shifted around, trying his best to get a bit more comfortable, but his body refused to cooperate. His foot just wouldn't stop tapping, damn it. The book was fascinating, too. He just couldn't seem to keep his eyes on the page for the amount of time it would have taken to read a whole sentence. "Something bothering you, brother?" Alphonse asked from where he sat at the other end of the Elric Library, watching Edward with an indulgent smile. "No, I'm having a great time," Ed snapped, flipping around so his feet were on the arm of the couch instead. "Why would you think I wasn't?"
"You're being bouncy,"
Ed glared at his little brother. "I am not bouncy. Kids get bouncy. I don't get bouncy. I've just got a lot of extra energy."
"Extra energy, huh?
Did you have a good time in General Mustang's office earlier then?" Al asked. And Ed could have sworn that the younger man's eyes fucking sparkled. Even though, biologically speaking, that shouldn't be possible. Ed slammed his book down on his face and groaned into the comforting pages. "Why do you keep asking these questions?" Ed asked, words muffled by the paper. "Do you really want to know?"
"Of course, brother,"
Al said, the picture of innocence. "I just want to make sure you're doing okay. I'm just looking out for you."
"I can look out for myself, Al," Edward said, and pulled the book off his face again.
He slammed it shut and dropped it on the couch cushion as he sat up, because like hell he was going to be able to get back to reading after this.
"Is it wrong for me to want to make sure my big brother's being treated well by his..."
"Don't you dare finish that sentence, Alphonse Elric." Al laughed, and Edward seriously considered throwing the book at his younger brother's head. But no, he was an adult now, he reminded himself. A fucking adult. He rolled off of the couch, threw the book down onto the cushions instead, and stomped off towards the library door. "I'm leaving. Going for a walk," Edward said, words coming out precisely as he meant them to.
All right, I'm sorry," Al said, putting his hands up in a placating gesture. "You know I'm teasing, but honestly, though, brother," he said, expression soft and head cocked to the side. "I'm just glad you're happy."
He paused. Edward turned to face him.
"I'm glad you're being safe now."
"You are being safe, aren't you?" Al asked, raising an eyebrow. "God, Alphonse," Edward snapped back, a bit touched, even as he wished the floor could swallow him whole. "We're fine. And just to clear up any misconceptions, we aren't actually having sex. Or we haven't yet, anyway."
He paused, fighting the embarrassment. After a moment of silence, he continued.
But you really don't think this is weird? You don't think I'm horribly fucked up?" he asked, his stomach dropping into his shoes as he did. He wasn't sure he wanted to know the answer.
"Well, it is a little weird," Al said, not sounding at all disturbed,
"but not really any weirder than the stuff you usually do."
Edward took a deep breath and hunched his shoulders, grateful and tired and nervous all at once.
"Sometimes, you know, I wonder if I'm totally fucking nuts. I mean, I don't even like the guy," he said, then shook his head at Al's raised eyebrow.
"Okay, maybe I do a little."
The eyebrow didn't come down. It might even have gone up higher.
"Shut up, Al. That isn't the point."
"It sounds to me like it's one of them."
"I don't know why I even try," Edward snapped, realizing with a sinking feeling that his good mood had entirely evaporated.
He felt like a jumble of nerves.
"No, no, brother, I'm listening, I promise."
"And I don't think you're crazy," Al said, looking for a moment like he might get up from his chair. He leaned back instead and continued.
"Or at least, if you are, you're crazy in the same way as a lot of other people."
Edward's brain stopped for a moment because
What?
His mouth asked as his thoughts struggled to keep up. You mean, what?
Alphonse crinkled his forehead and put the front legs of his chair back down on the ground, then turned around in it, putting his elbow over the back.
Wait, am I telling you something you don't know? He asked, sounding genuinely confused.
I guess. If you keep going, I'll know for sure, Ed replied, wary.
Alphonse made his thinking noise, eyebrows pulled down low.
The stuff you're doing, it's not that uncommon.
Didn't you know that? Ed swallowed, fighting a warm rush.
No, I didn't. News to me.
This time, Al's eyebrows went up almost to his hairline. He had very expressive eyebrows.
It's a thing. I mean, it's got a name and stuff, he said, blushing a little bit. Lieutenant Havoc was telling me about it. That's how I found out it was, you know, a sex thing.
He's got stories, he said, and Edward flushed in furious mortification.
You told Havoc? What the fuck, Al?
Of all the ways his brother could have betrayed him.
No.
I didn't tell him anything, Al said, waving his hands back and forth in violent denial. I asked him about it in general. Tying people up, I mean. He was disturbingly happy to tell me about it, actually. He seemed to think he was initiating me into manhood or something, he said with a nervous laugh. But he also seemed to think that tying your sex partners up or getting tied up is perfectly normal.
Edward felt a flood of relief like a physical force buoying him up.
It is.
Not everyone does it, of course, and I don't think many people do it to quite the, extent you and General Mustang did. Do. But that's not unheard of either.
He paused, cocking his head. I can't believe I'm telling you this. I can't believe nobody else has.
Edward swallowed hard and put his hand up over his eyes, crumpling it there to keep his face from view. His laugh sounded dry and humorless even to his own ears.
I thought I was the only one, he said. I thought it was just me.
When he took his hand off his eyes, he looked at his brother to see an expression that might well have been called pity on anyone else. From Al, he preferred to think of it as brotherly concern.
I am so sorry, brother, Alphonse said, eyes shining in the lamplight. I would have told you earlier.
You're not a freak, I promise.
Well, I mean, you are, but that's not why.
A grin broke out over Ed's face, irrepressible. Trust Al to always know what to say.
Don't you talk to your older brother like that, he said, unable to even pretend at anger. You're the freak. How am I the freak?
Well, you eat a freakish amount, and you like the general, which is pretty freaky too.
And you're freakishly short, Al said, matching his brother's expression.
He leaned back in his chair.
You have no respect for your elders. Ed shot back. I should really give it to you. It's not fair that you're taller than me. It's proof that there is no God, because if there was and the world was fair, then I'd be taller, goddammit. I'm older, Edward said.
Then turned and stomped out the door, still feeling a bit like a madman.
If you wish hard enough, maybe someday your dreams will become reality.
I believe in you, brother,
Al said from behind him. Ed hissed. And when he left, he had to slam the door because that was what he did when Al teased him. But even that had none of his usual vehemence. Funny how one little thing could make all the difference in the world.
Clothing had always been something of secondary interest to Edward. The stuff you used to cover yourself and to keep from getting frostbite or sunburn or whatever the danger of the day was. But not really worth much of his time beyond that. Sure, he liked the flashy look. Liked it when people took notice of him. But all told, he had never found them terribly important. Very much to his surprise, Edward suddenly found that they could be very effective tools for a job, if the job in question was Roy Mustang. He began to carefully take note of what pieces of clothing drew a reaction from the other man, to keep a mental list and use it to his advantage. When Mustang looked at him like that, completely unashamed of his blatant interest, that meant that Ed was winning. For the next few days after his office adventures, he used different clothes carefully, sparingly. Each day was a different test, of shirts or pants or hair or a combination thereof, combined with the data he had gathered previously. By the fourth day, Edward was fairly certain he knew the winning formula. He wore his hair down that day over a black shirt that could be called a button-up, mostly in name. He had left the top three buttons completely unfastened, which also left his neck and a significant portion of his chest open for review. For pants, he chose Roy's favorite pair of black slacks after discovering that although his leather pants may have been ridiculously titillating for the other man, they were completely impossible to tuck shirt tails into. He wore no gloves. He didn't need to hide anything anymore. Alphonse gave him a look as they left the house that day, part amusement and part glee. "Lay off, Alphonse, it's nice out," Ed growled in response. "I didn't say anything," Al said as he continued to not say anything very loudly for the rest of the walk into the office. Edward felt strangely self-conscious parading through military headquarters dressed like this. Even though he never caught anybody looking at him weird or anything. Well, except for Al, but that was normal. But he felt out of place and awkward. What the hell had possessed him to wear this shit? The feeling dissipated almost immediately upon entering the general's office, because Roy fixed him with that look. The one that hit him so hard and left him speechless in its wake. He had heard the phrase, undressing with your eyes, before, but he had never quite understood what it had meant. That moment he did. He felt naked then, standing fully clothed in front of the general's desk, like those eyes had stripped everything away. The man didn't even seem to care that Alphonse was standing right next to him, and couldn't possibly have missed Roy's expression. Ed didn't dare to look over and see his brother's response. Maybe he should have felt uncomfortable there, with Roy looking at him like he wanted to just slam him up against the wall. Maybe that would have made him awkward and skittish even a week ago. But in the moment, he didn't feel vulnerable at all. He felt powerful. So powerful in his newfound ability to shake Roy Mustang's fabled self-control. The man leaned back in his chair, folded his hands on his lap, and said, Full Metal, Alphonse. What brings you here today? Edward couldn't help but admire Mustang's ability to keep his countenance unruffled, even as his eyes told a different story. Just stopping by to say hello, Alphonse said, clasping his hands in front of him. Edward hoped that the younger man was really, truly oblivious to the silent exchange, and not just pretending. He tried not to think about it. He probably didn't really want to know. Also, we wanted to let you know that we were making good progress on the project. Most of the notes are categorized and labeled, and we've read quite a few of the books. There are a lot of them, though. Roy stared at Edward's open collar, put his elbows on the arms of his chair, and laced his fingers together.
You should be telling this to your liaison.
Oh, we will. We just thought you would like to know, too. We're learning a lot. We're getting a grant proposal together, he said, expression turning blissful and distant, like it always did when they talked about a project. Thank you for your notes, by the way.
Yeah, they've been really useful, Edward said, which was the truth.
Didn't you say you had more of them? He added,
which was not. Roy was no idiot.
He knew exactly what Ed was really saying. He pushed himself up from his chair and stood.
Ah, yes. I found them in my library. I have left them at home, but my lunch hour is approaching, and I would be happy to retrieve them for you if you'd like.
Oh, no, please don't go out of your way for us. We wouldn't want you to miss lunch.
Says who? He's offering. I say we should let him, said Edward,
then ran a tongue across his bottom lip, letting out a heavy breath.
You're so considerate, Full Metal, putting my needs above your own. Why don't you come with me and keep me company on the walk?
But, General, we have to get back to work, said Al, not sounding too concerned. We got here late, after all.
Your brother will be collecting more research. As good a use of his time as any.
Can't hurt anything, Al. You go on ahead, start organizing stuff. I'll be back before you know it. Al looked from one of them to the other. If you think you should, then okay. But get back soon. We don't want to lose too much more of our day.
No, it shouldn't take that long,
Roy said, not quite managing to make himself sound nonchalant. Ed heard what lurked behind those words, heard what the man wasn't saying. He glanced furtively out of the corner of his eye to examine his little brother's reaction, hoping that Al wasn't listening too hard. Wouldn't notice. That was probably incredibly naive, though. Well then, you two have fun, Al said, turning to the door and giving his brother a look of amusement as soon as the general could no longer see his face. Ed resisted making any kind of parting shot or face that might be even mildly incriminating.
If you'll come along then, Full Metal,
Roy said, face neutral below intense eyes. Edward couldn't help but feel smug at the cracks he saw in the man's normally flawless control. They followed Al without speaking again, Mustang's presence almost tangible at his right shoulder. His body felt electric with anticipation, and he barely remembered to give Al the cheerful goodbye he expected before they split ways. Alphonse had no sooner disappeared around the corner than Ed felt a yank on his arm. Suddenly he was stumbling through a doorway into a supply closet, unable to stop the forward press of his motion. He didn't get much of a chance to see what was happening, because a half a second later, he heard the slam of a door, and he was pinned there, in the dark, by familiar hands pressed up on either side of his shoulders.
You are absolutely,
Roy said, voice deep and husky, eyes closed as his face hovered just a few inches in front of Ed's.
The most frustrating person I have ever met.
Edward felt his throat dry, but gave the other man a half smirk. Oh yeah? He asked, arching forward to rub his hips up against Roy's. The man groaned softly as the hardness in Ed's pants met his. To the younger man's great satisfaction, Mustang's breath rasped in his throat, his eyes sliding open again to lock Ed under his heavy gaze.
Yes. God, Edward, you can't keep coming into the office dressed like that unless you want me to fuck you into the floor. Is that what you're looking for?
He growled, and brought a hand down roughly between them to palm the evidence of Edward's insistent need. The blonde made a noise deep in his throat, grinding himself shamelessly up against the pressure. Ah, he said eloquently. And then Roy was kissing him, open-mouthed. And Ed groaned as that expert hand thumbed the head of his cock through his pants. He felt a tongue sweep into his mouth and returned the motion. And that one act gave way to a frantic clash of lips sliding together and apart in a frenzy as the two men struggled to breathe, to touch as much of each other as they could. Their hands roved, grabbed, working instinctively on buttons to bare Roy's throat, his collar, his chest, to the low light from the crack under the door. Neck, body, perfectly sculpted. Ed wanted to touch them. He moved forward to taste. And then Roy made a noise, long and deep, and Ed felt a red-hot chill in his stomach at the realization that Roy wanted him. Really. Him. That Roy was shuddering under Ed's mouth on his neck. The blonde nipped at it on instinct, then opened his mouth to lick, to suck at it eagerly. It didn't seem to matter that he didn't know what he was doing, that he had no idea what to do next. Because Roy let his eyes fall shut, face heated and breath quickening, throat rumbling under Ed's lips. The sound of footsteps passed by their hiding place, tapping down the hallway. But Edward frankly didn't give a damn. Alphonse himself could have walked in on them right then, and it wouldn't have stopped the hot press of their bodies together. The slow grind. The way Roy looked at him with eyes half-lidded was intoxicating, and if that hadn't been enough, the man slid a hand through the gaping front of Ed's shirt to run a thumb over the younger man's nipple. Sparks shot down through him, and he gasped in a breath. Shit, he said, world spinning. Roy gave a low chuckle that shot straight to Ed's groin.
You like that?
Roy asked, voice gravel and heat and silk. His thumb skated over the sensitive flesh again.
Do you want more?
Ed's voice deserted him. His mind hadn't left him any better off. It barely even registered that the other man was asking him a question.
Well,
he asked, voice low and rumbling. Powerful voice shivering through Ed's ear.
Tell me what you want now, or I'm going to make you.
Ed shivered as the voice did something to his body that he just couldn't control. Some part of him still wanted that, to be forced into compliance. But another part of him, stronger for the moment, wanted to remember that there was more to this than a power struggle where Ed always came out on bottom. He took a breath and forced his brain back down to earth. Well, Ed said, fisting a hand in the front of Roy's uniform shirt. First, I'm going to kiss you, and then we're going to get some of these clothes out of the way, and we'll see where it goes from there. How's that sound? Slowly, the man shifted so that his hips hovered half an inch in front of the blonde's, his breath ghosting hot over Ed's skin. And Ed could feel their heat even across the gap. Charged with anticipation. Could feel the man almost like they were touching. Sheer want lanced through him, and he shivered in place, waiting.
Your wish,
Roy said, though he didn't get to finish because Ed's mouth claimed his, lips clashing together in a fury of lust, need, desire. His hands stroked up Roy's back, feeling, testing, and they pressed hotly against each other. Then Roy's mouth slid down, breath heavy, and found Ed's neck, licking, biting, tasting. Ed's head fell to the side, leaving his neck open to Roy's attentions. He whimpered, surrendering to the sensation.
You're enthusiastic
today, Ed said as Roy's mouth found the hollow of his throat and set a fire in his brain.
Well, you showed up in my office with your shirt hanging open, looking eminently.
Roy's hand teased at the waist of his pants and then slipped in.
Fuckable, he growled, words hot on Ed's neck.
Fuck, Roy, don't stop. Teeth bit down on his ear as rough padded fingers slid between cloth and skin, tracing the head of his cock. And he lost all ability to suppress the keening moan that ripped from his throat. His head fell back against the wall, his chest forced into a sharp, shallow rise and fall that did nothing to make him feel less lightheaded, less like a drowning man. Then the hand that had been threading through Ed's hair came down and joined the other one to deftly unbutton the front of his clothing. In seconds, Edward's pants were down around his thighs and Roy's hand was moving on his shaft. Hard, slow, long strokes that forced his hips into motion. And he would never get used to this. Not ever. That sharp pleasure of someone else's skin on him, and breath on him, and gaze on him. Ed's eyes fell closed and his mouth open. And when he managed to look up at Roy through half-lidded eyes, he saw the general staring at him like a man bewitched. Ed flushed and looked away again, trying to keep his body under control as his mind recovered. Because Roy Mustang had a way of making him feel utterly naked. Every time it was different, so he could never figure it out, never plan for it, and the feeling made Ed's stomach jump to his throat. The nakedness had nothing to do with the physical vulnerability. He had felt that before, had liked it, and was slowly letting himself be convinced that maybe it wasn't something that he had to be ashamed of. It had nothing to do with his lingering wariness. The fear that there was some catch he was missing. This was an emotional nakedness. He felt like Roy's look stripped him bare, down to his core, and do all the things he would rather keep hidden, which was only made worse by the fact that he had no idea what the other man was thinking, no sense of it at all, except that it was something unfamiliar and maybe a little bit terrifying. Or maybe exciting? He felt the thrill of it. and whatever it was hit him again like a wall as he heard.
God, Edward, you're beautiful.
Then Roy leaned in and kissed him chastely on the lips, even as his hand moved up and down Ed's cock in an act of obscene worship. Ed tried to keep his breathing steady. He did. But that terrifying, thrilling feeling pressed back into his throat and got stuck there. He clutched Roy's collar, repressing a groan. Don't say shit like that, you bastard, said Edward, feeling hot breath on his lips. Somehow, that was different from anything before. Different from Roy eyeing his ass in those leather pants. Different from them making out on the man's carpet. Different from him shoving Ed into a supply closet and grinding their bodies together like they might catch fire if he tried hard enough. Somehow, those words from Roy's mouth felt more like real emotion. Roy looked taken aback, for just a moment, and gave a half smile.
Why not? You are,
he said, and the lie made Ed so sick as he pulled Roy in for an open-mouth kiss, just so that he'd shut up. That hand moving on him was nice, was wonderful, but the confusion that was building up inside him alongside the pleasure was not nice at all. After too long drowning in it, they pulled apart to catch some air, and Ed said, Just don't talk. We're doing fine without talking. Roy laughed again, and Ed thought about bristling. But then the man's thumb swiped the pre-cum at the head of his cock, and he gave a heated groan instead.
I think it's sexy when you talk, but as I said earlier, your wish is my command,
he said. And then every muscle in Ed's body turned to stone as Roy sank to his knees in front of him and pressed his lips to the tip of Ed's length. Edward whimpered. Nothing they had done up until this moment had prepared him for the warm, wet sensation of Roy's tongue, swirling around the sensitive head of his erection. Roy's lips slid around it, and Ed's body tried to buck into that mouth. But he found himself held still by the pressure of strong hands on his hips. The lips moved down the shaft of his cock just once, and then Ed was coming hard in Roy's mouth. With a long moan and heavy pitched breaths, his whole body jerking in sympathy as Roy sucked down everything he had to give. Ed closed his eyes, struggling to get his breathing under control, and felt the wet heat leave him with some disappointment.
Not good, huh?
Said Roy from below, sounding as pleased and self-satisfied as Edward had ever heard him. Fuck yes, Edward said, opening his eyes.
But don't you go getting too proud of yourself yet. No way am I going without giving as good as I got at least.
Roy gave a low chuckle and stood up. Ed couldn't tell his expression in the dim light, but he could hear the man's breathing.
As appealing as that sounds, we really shouldn't spend any longer in here than we already have. My lunch break isn't eternal, and we both have work to do.
Ed frowned.
What did that mean? So, you don't want me to?
Roy pressed forward and slowly kissed him again, gentle. Ed tasted himself on the man's lips, then pulled away. When the general spoke again, his voice was low, rough.
I wouldn't say that,
he said. And when he kissed Ed again, there was no mistaking what pressed against his stomach.
I wouldn't say that at all. What I would say is this. That look on your face when you came in my mouth was enough to satisfy me for now.
If the younger man hadn't been so utterly spent, he would have gotten hard again at that.
You always know just what to say, don't you, you shit? Edward said,
hoping he sounded half as pleased as he felt.
I do my best,
Mustang said, a smirk in his tone.
Course you do. But are you sure you don't want me to help you with this?
Ed asked, pressing his forehead to Roy's shoulder and pressing a palm to the man's crotch. Edward grinned at the man's hissed exhale.
If we had more time. But, as I have no doubt you've heard, patience is a virtue, Edward.
Says the man who tossed me into a closet to have his wicked way with me.
Even my patience has limits, Edward. These clothes you're wearing?
he said, even as he took to buttoning up Ed's shirt quickly, deftly.
Test it thoroughly. But Major Hawkeye will be waiting for me, and your brother will be waiting for you, and I honestly need to get back. Regardless, I am going to spend the rest of the day fantasizing about fucking you over my desk.
Edward took in hot air.
And I fully expect you at my house tonight. We have some private research to get started on.
Ed laughed and pulled Roy down by the shoulders to kiss the man on the mouth.
Whatever you say, General, he said, grinning when they had pulled apart. Whatever you say.
I notice you've come back without any notes, brother.
Nope, he couldn't find them.
I'm not surprised. A supply closet in Central Headquarters is an awfully strange place to leave your research.
Say another word, Alphonse.
Do it.
I fucking dare ya.
Edward showed up at Roy's house that night with a stack of books and a grin. The stack of books only made it to the floor of the entryway, and the two men didn't make it past the living room carpet. They didn't get much done that night. At least not academically.